The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
Let us pray. Holy One, we thank you that you come to us in your resurrected self, fully alive and yet bearing the wounds of all you have been through. Help us to remember that resurrection and woundedness can coexist, and that you are with us in it all. Amen. A few months ago, my son Rowan fell down while running around outside. No big catastrophe, but he got a good scrape on the back of his hand. A kiss and a series of Spider-Man Band-Aids were the only treatment required, and it healed. But I noticed a couple of days ago that a small scar remained on his little hand. I wondered if it is one that will fade with time or whether it's one he'll look back on years from now and wonder how it came to be. I have one like that on my left hand, a small scar near the base of my pointer finger that I have absolutely no idea how I got it or what caused it. We all have little scars like this, little injuries or marks whose origins are unknown. And there are other scars, too, ones we know exactly where they came from. Some are easy to talk about. A faint scar on my left knee from falling on a boat ramp on a Girl Scout canoe trip. Scars on both feet from bunion surgery when I was in college. Anytime I've ever gotten a pedicure, I get asked about those. But it's easy enough to give a straightforward answer. There are scars visible to others, and there are also some we never show. The scars that you can't see when you look at me tell the stories of both the hardest and most joyful days of my life. The one hidden by my hair from my craniotomy, and the one on my lower abdomen from the C-section deliveries of my 3 children. Our scars, visible or not, are important to us. The marks on our bodies tell so much of what we have lived through, what we have endured, how we have survived, flourished in the face of pain and suffering. Truth be told, our bodies carry so much more than physical scars as well. Trauma researcher Bessel van der Kolk named his most recent book, Our Bodies Tell the Story, an apt description for how we continue to experience trauma and loss we have suffered in a bodily way, long after the events themselves have taken place. We have so many kinds of scars, so many stories to tell, and we tell them so rarely, even here. For so long, there seemed to be these two major ways that the wider church over time has handled our scars, either focusing on our sinfulness that led to them and our need for penitence, telling us that only good things happen to good people who have faith. So if you have problems, if you have scars, you must not have enough faith. Church became the last place one would want to show their scars, because doing so might just show other people that you weren't good enough or not faithful enough not to have them. But these are untruths. These are projections of humanity's deepest fears. They are attempts to silence the pain and the fear that comes with being human. With these narratives, no wonder we don't show our scars in church. We're too busy trying to pretend we don't have any. Too convinced that the people in the pews next to us have it all worked out, and if we were just good enough or faithful enough, we would too. But the gospel, the story of God here on this earth, has something else to say about the matter. The gospel, as the word itself means, bears good news for us who are scarred. Jesus had scars. Jesus suffered unimaginable pain and trauma when he died. And when he rose from the dead, those scars were still there. When he appeared to the disciples in the upper room, when he appeared to those loved ones who were afraid and uncertain of what the future might hold, he held out his hands and he showed them his wounds. And the beautiful part of this story is that the gospel tells us nothing about how the disciples react when Jesus first shows up. Maybe they were frozen by their shock or their fear, but he showed them his hands and his side, and the gospel says then they rejoiced when they saw the Lord. The rejoicing only came once they saw his wounds. It was then that they truly recognized him. It was then that they rejoiced. And it's these same scars that Thomas demands to see. He doesn't just ask to see Jesus. He says, unless I see the mark of the nails on his hand and put my finger in the mark of the nails in his side, I will not believe. The church has branded Thomas as doubting Thomas, the one who didn't have enough faith to believe without seeing the wounds. But the gospel itself said the other disciples didn't believe either, until they'd seen the wounds. They didn't even recognize Jesus until then. Thomas is courageous enough to be vulnerable and say that he needs more, to say that he's struggling without having seen the wounds. As Cameron Howard wrote, he knows what it will take for him to believe the remarkable, ridiculous news. And he asks that Jesus provide that experience. Thomas needs to understand Jesus' resurrection, not just in his brain or even in his heart, but in his body, with his senses, his whole self. And Jesus shows up for him.
Jesus responds to these vulnerable words spoken by Thomas and shows him as well the marks on his hands and his side. Thomas doesn't pretend he has it all together, doesn't hide the challenges involved with faith, and Jesus meets him right there. There's no shame. There's no accusation in his words. Blessed are they who do not see and yet believe. Well, yeah, that's great for them. Sounds nice. But for most of us, including each one of the disciples, it's not so easy. We have wounds. We have scars. We are not invulnerable. So Jesus meets us here. We know him by his wounds, and he knows us by ours. Resurrection doesn't erase wounds. In fact, it's more meaningful because of them. We are all in a vulnerable place with all that's going on in the world right now. Our lives have been flipped upside down, and we didn't get a say in it. I have to think that outrage about vulnerability that they can't control is at least in part what's fueling those who are protesting in Michigan and other places around the country. Yeah, it's all swirled in with politics too, but on some level, it's about a perceived invulnerability, an inviolability that the virus directly threatens. Nothing should be able to shut our lives down like this. But it did. So here we are, in this place of shared vulnerability. Our lives are fragile. We all have scars. What will we do with them? Will we try to hide them? Will we pretend they're not there? This path is what has led the church to look down on old doubting Thomas for so long, the one who dared show vulnerability and uncertainty. When we pretend we aren't vulnerable, it's all too easy to look down on those who are, those who have no ability to hide their scars. When the stay-at-home orders are lifted and we gather once more here in this place, is this what we want to do? Will we hide our scars away? Do we want this to be a place where we all have to have everything together? What if instead this were a place safe enough to show each other our scars, where we came to recognize one another by them, where we recognize Jesus through them? We have questions and doubts, and trouble believing sometimes. We have scars that have healed and wounds that have not yet healed, and a resurrected Jesus who has some too, who comes to us just as we are, gives us what we need, shows us what we need to see. And if we're willing to gaze at the wounds, the inescapable vulnerability of this life, we might just find ourselves gasping, like Thomas, "My Lord and my God," at the beauty of wounded resurrection in our midst. Amen.